You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Kei te whakarongo koe ki te Wire, marunga irirangi pō.
The Wire.
This week marks 50 years since the establishment of Te Wiki o Te Reo Māori, following the 1972 Māori language petition. As part of this week, everyone across Aotearoa is encouraged to use and learn Te Reo Māori, fostering its revival and integrating it into their daily life. However, even 50 years on, the revitalization of Te Reo still faces a number of issues, with the current coalition government facing criticism over its policies related to Te Reo, such as the removal of Te Reo on the New Zealand passport, government offices, and even in some school books. I spoke with Professor of Māori Studies at the University of Auckland, Margaret Mutu, about Te Wiki o Te Reo Māori and the milestones in Te Reo revitalization that have been achieved since it began. Te Wiki o Te Reo Māori is celebrating its 50th anniversary since it began in 1975. So 50 years on, how important has this week been in revitalizing Te Reo Māori in Aotearoa?
I think what Te Wiki o Te Reo Māori has done has just drawn the attention of the country to the fact that the Māori language is endangered, very threatened, and just given a time for the country to focus on it. But the actual revitalisation of the language, of course, required a lot more than that, and that has gone on regardless. So it's like you take a breath each year to say, oh, hang on a minute, that's right, we've got an endangered language and we need to look at it. And for those who have been very much in this journey to revitalise the language, every day of the year for us, the week is not enough. But it does help highlight the endangered and threatened status of the Māori language.
Who are some of the main groups or players who have helped in the revitalisation of Te Reo over the past 50 years?
So it started really in the 1970s. It did start at the University of Auckland with Ngā Tamatoa, which was a group of mainly university students, but people who had degrees, Māori, who had degrees, who were feeling very vulnerable and quite angry about the fact that they did not have their ancestral language. Now, I was one of those people. I was not part of Ngā Tamatoa, though, but my father had been beaten for speaking the language. The only reason my father ever taught us anything at all was because my Scottish mother insisted that he do so. She understood really clearly that if we did not have our own ancestral Māori language, then we would lose what it was to be Māori. And she was very, very concerned about that. So those of us in the 1970s trying desperately to claw back our language had to face some pretty hostile attacks, particularly from the media, as we tried to highlight the fact that we couldn't speak our language and we really wanted to revitalise it. So Ngā Tamatoa, and in particular Hannah Jackson, Hannah Tehemara, she was, but Hannah and Sid Jackson, Hannah Jackson herself was just a machine who was absolutely determined to raise the attention, just mobilise people to fight for the language. And so she organised the petition that went out that was signed by, I think, about 30,000 people asking for the reo to be available in schools. And then led with Ngā Tamatoa and the Kaumātua from down there in Wellington, led the march to Parliament begging for consideration for Te Reo Māori. And those ones must never ever be forgotten, because it wasn't just the Pākehā media and Pākehā who were hostile. It was a lot of our own people who were scared that if we raised the spectre of the need to save the Māori language, then that would create a backlash in Pākehā society that my father's generation had been subjected to quite violently, and it had achieved the oppression of the Māori language, the Māori culture, everything. And my generation was just not prepared to put up with that.
And today, who are some of the most important groups or people currently involved in Te Reo revitalisation?
Oh, there's a huge number. I think the most influential are the Kōhanga Reo, Kura Kaupapa and Whare Kura. So your Māori language immersion preschools, primary schools, secondary schools, they are hugely influential. They are, legislation restricts how many there are. There are huge waiting lists for our children to get in, because one thing that the linguists know is that the best way to conserve, preserve and revitalize your language is to have children speaking it. But what that has done is it has encouraged the parents who were denied their language to actually have to learn the language. So you've got not just the children in those Māori immersion schools, you've got also their parents and their wider whānau. And then you have got on our marae, and we have thousands of marae around the country, it is still a place where te reo must be spoken, especially in the pōwhiri, in the welcoming ceremonies that go on. You cannot do those without the reo. So you've got it concentrated, if you like, and quite clearly Māori and Māori-driven in the immersion schools, but our marais, it's still there, especially in the ceremonial parts of the marais. And then the most powerful one, education is the most powerful, but also very, very powerful, is the media. And there, your Māori radio stations and Māori television have been crucial in this respect. And you hear a lot of Māori on the Māori radio stations. You hear a lot of Māori language on Māori television. Now, getting those out into the wider community has meant there's been a huge uptake of non-Māori learning the Māori language. And that's what we always wanted, was for everyone in this country to be bilingual in English and Māori, to be feel equally comfortable in both languages and both cultures. We've got a long way to go, but we're a lot further ahead than we were 50 years ago.
So today, what are some of the main challenges that te reo is facing, even after all these years?
So you still have those who feel threatened by the Māori language, and you see it clearly articulated by this three-headed monster of a government that thinks that anything Māori, and particularly the language, somehow threatens the dominance of Pākehā in this country. So you've got that attitudinal problem, and I do have to say that it is present within the mechanisms of government. So the Ministry of Education has been quite hostile to Māori language, to Māori contributions that aren't dictated and determined by the Ministry of Education out of a largely Eurocentric approach to the teaching of Māori. In other words, Pākehās will decide what is Māori culture and Māori language. And we are really seeing that now with the banning of books that readers for five-year-olds that have Māori words in them. You're seeing it with the exclusion of anything to do with the language or the treaty in the English curriculum and the mathematics curriculum. As a linguist, I just find this absolutely bizarre, because we do not live in England. We live in the South Pacific, in Aotearoa, New Zealand, and this is a Māori country. So why on earth would you not speak Māori when thousands of place names around the country are Māori? So you have this fear. It's an unfounded fear amongst bureaucrats, some bureaucrats, and amongst some of the population, this uninformed fear of the power of the Māori language. And it's quite sad, really. Quite sad.
And lastly, what are some of the main ways that our listeners can not just celebrate Te Wiki o Te Reo Māori, but also Tautoko Te Reo throughout the rest of the year?
Oh, just any chance that people get to be able to listen to it, to be able to enjoy it. Particularly, I really appreciate it when television, both mainstream, both Pākehā and Māori television, do put subtitles up so that you can follow what's happening. And if you listen, you can start to appreciate the language. You start picking up words. But really, the thing that I would really love so that the country could tautoko our reo is that people just take the time and make the effort to learn te reo Māori. It's a beautiful, beautiful language that belongs in this country and is made for this country. And it opens everybody's thinking to a much broader spectrum of this country than English ever can, because English belongs in England. Māori belongs here. And I just encourage everybody to take the time, make the effort to learn Māori as much as you can, but just to be able to appreciate that you have a right, everybody has a right, to be able to speak and understand te reo Māori.
And that was Professor of Māori Studies at the University of Auckland, Margaret Mutu, talking to us about Te Wiki o Te Reo Māori and the milestones in Te Reo revitalization that have been achieved since it began. We'll be right back after a quick break. Keep it on the B.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.